It's time to talk some Pac-12 football. She once roamed the halls here as host of Duck Insider, then off to the Pac-12 Network, where she's gone. Also international, covering hockey. We'll be working the sidelines in Pullman for Utah and the Cougs. You can follow her on Twitter. Use the handle at @Jill_Savage. Jill Savage checks in. Jill, feel like we haven't spoken in a while. How have you been?
I know. It feels like we haven't talked in such a long time, but I am doing very well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, much appreciate your time. So let's kind of trace what you've been up to for the network. Week one, you were USC host in Vegas. They pulled away in the fourth quarter, won it by 22. It was the debut of the true freshman, JT Daniels. You were there. Obviously, aside from getting in the huddle, you couldn't have had much better view. Your impressions, his first taste of big-time college football and the kind of day that kid had.
Let me tell you, you can't tell JT Daniels nothing. He has all of the confidence in the world. We were able to talk with JT Daniels and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Of course, the two of them were teammates at Mater Dei, and they are very close. And it was just interesting to see the two of them coming in before their very first collegiate game. They were so confident. They're like, oh, well, JT told us, I've been running high school or college concepts since I was in fourth grade. We were all like, okay, we are trying not to laugh at you right now, but that's the kind of confidence that this guy is dealing with. That he thinks that he's going to go out there, light the world on fire, and if you're a high coach, any coach out there, that's what you want from your quarterback. You want him to think that he is going to go out there and light the world on fire. Now, he's going to learn, like he did, obviously, against Stanford and some of the other games, like against Texas, that it's not going to always go the way that you think it's going to go, and I think that's going to prove him better in the long run, even just this season, that he still does have a long way to go at the collegiate level. Yes, you're good. You're very talented. You're better than most, but you still have a long way to go.
So clearly confidence, not a box we're going to worry about checking. And obviously you saw that team up close. We know they're always talented, but like you mentioned, they got routed at Stanford and Texas. They had to hang on to beat Wazoo. And, you know, they did lose the number three pick in the draft, a 1,500-yard rusher, a 1,000-yard receiver, their top sack guy in Nwosu. What's the word? I mean, they're kind of surprised by where they've gone since then, or just that's a lot to make up for?
It is a lot to make up for, but they were all talking heading into the season that defense is really where they were going to hang their hat. And it's been a little different, I think, than they thought it was going to be, especially with that game against Stanford and then the defense kind of letting up in the second half against Texas, that they thought that that's where the real rock was going to be of this team, was the defensive side. And we were talking to the coaches at Media Day before the first game, just throughout training camp, and they were saying that this is the deepest defense that they've had since the sanctions were placed. So they feel like they can finally roll in not just the ones but twos and even some of the threes and not have the drop-off that they've had in years past. So you look at what they're able to do now, the bodies that they're able to roll through there, you would think that that would lead to better outcomes. But again, that offensive side, you say it, when you look at losing all of those playmakers that they had, and I think Ronald Jones is really an underrated piece of the offense that they had from last year. And, of course, everybody knows Sam Darnold and what he was able to provide. But it is interesting how much, and it's one of the criticisms that Clay Helton has gotten so far, is how much he puts on a quarterback. And before the game against Washington State, he was asking JT Daniels to throw the ball 60% of the time in their offense. And I thought it was very telling that they came out against Washington State and they did not throw the ball on the entire first drive. They ran it the entire time and got a touchdown. And I think that's them trying to make right and say, okay, we're going to need some more balance in this offense, and we're going to have a good, strong run game if we expect our freshman quarterback to make it to the end of the season.
We'll keep an eye out for that. So then you headed for Seattle. You got the Huskies the week after they opened with that tough loss to Auburn. They played North Dakota. We knew coming in, Browning, Gaskin, a great backfield. But as well as they played at Auburn in what was essence a Tiger home game, you mentioned USC hanging their hat on their defense. I believe in this. How good is that Husky defense?
It's unbelievable. They are really, really good. And I think that you saw that against the game that they played against Utah as well. But Utah, if you watch that game, they are an inch here, a fumble there, you know, just a couple different plays. And I believe Utah could have won that game 21-7. But the Huskies defense is that good. And I was actually that game against North Dakota that you're talking about there in week two that I was at. I was actually pretty underwhelmed by the Washington offense. And that's been something that I've kind of seen throughout a couple different weeks now from the Huskies offense, is you expect more with a four-year starting quarterback and Jake Browning. And you just look at the mistakes that he's been making, not only just his junior year and all the criticisms that he's received, but even in that game against Utah, he continued to do a lot of the same things. He'll run away from pressure and just chuck the ball up. And it's like, you have to be smarter than that if you're a four-year starting quarterback. You can't be making the same mistakes over and over again. And I know he was really underwhelmed with his performance. He was not happy with his performance in that North Dakota game even. So there's a lot to be desired, I still think, from this Huskies offense.
Talking Pac-12 football with Jill Savage of the Pac-12 Network. You were in Palo Alto, UC Davis, and Stanford. I heard folks talking about that game saying, it was kind of an underwhelming performance. But when you consider the first score for UC Davis was after an interception inside the Stanford 20, their only touchdown on the last play. Safe to say that Stanford had that in hand, and that's their style. They're not going to win games 50-20.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, David Shaw was not happy when the referees went back and put 2 seconds on the clock while he was already walking out for the head coach's handshake there. And then that's when UC Davis gets their touchdown on the board. But yeah, that's definitely the style that Stanford plays. They're not going to wow you. I mean, they're not the old Oregon offense that's just going to put up 58 points on the board, right? That's not how they win. They're going to go through and make, you know, they're going to drive down the field, and their offensive line is getting better, and you're seeing them gel a little bit more than they had already earlier this season. So that's just the way that they play. And, I mean, I hate to say it, they're in Eugene, but you see the resilience from their defense that they were able to just stick in there, believe, and eke out one of the more entertaining wins that we've seen all season in college football, unfortunately, for Oregon fans.
Of course, last week you alluded to that game. The Ducks jumped the Cardinal, and appeared they put the game away in the third quarter, and then the roof caved in. Murphy's Law kind of took over, and a big win on a national stage kind of became a gut-punch loss. What have you heard or observed about that game? And is there any logic to Oregon in defeat showed they might be capable of big things? Because you don't see offenses putting up those kind of numbers and yards on this Cardinal defense.
Yeah, I was talking with our old buddy Justin Myers, and I texted him in the first half of that game, and I said, vintage Oregon. This is what we're all expecting to see again, is an offense that comes out and lights up the world, right? Like, that's what people are used to seeing in Eugene. But I do think that when you look at it as a whole, if you put Oregon and Stanford up again and they played another 10 games, Oregon's going to win half of them and Stanford's going to win half of them. So it's difficult to say that Stanford is clearly the better team. They were on that day. And I think that what you learned there is that David Shaw is just really good at end-of-the-game decision-making, and Mario Cristobal will have some work to do. And I think that's really just what it comes down to, is the better coaching decisions won at the end of that game. And that's not to say that Mario Cristobal is not a great coach, because he is. It's just David Shaw has been there and done this so many times that that's what you get on this certain day.
No, I'm a big on clock management and time management. You do during the week, not in the heat of the moment. Couple final thoughts for Jill Savage. This week's game, big value. Teams already have a conference loss that you're going to be covering. The Cougs beat three straight soft opponents, then the heartbreaking loss last week. I saw you and Yogi Roth spoke with their quarterback, Gardner Minshew, who has just put up crazy numbers. What were your impressions of this young guy who transferred from East Carolina?
Perhaps my new favorite person in the Pac-12 that we're covering. He has such a great personality. He is amazing. Just after one phone call, I'm like, I already love this kid. He's a Mississippi quarterback. He has been transferring everywhere. And he told us, Yogi and I on the phone, he said, listen, I'm going to play ball till I can't anymore, and then I'm going to go coach it because I love this game. The kids at home back in Braden, Mississippi, are still wearing his number 9 jersey from high school. He said there are a ton of Cougs fans down there in Mississippi, and everybody is so excited to see what he's able to do. And Mike Leach, when he called him on the phone, he was like, heck yeah, this is what I was waiting for. And he has a nice relationship with Hal Mumme. Hal had recruited him earlier on in his career, and so he was able to text him and go in and learn the air raid offense from Hal this spring before he was up here in Pullman for summer workout. So he's a really impressive kid, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do for this offense because he is the perfect fit for Mike Leach in this offense.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have him throwing the ball 65 times a game. So
I
lastly, I want to have
well,
we know with Leach, you get late in the game, and if it's still close, he's not going to be looking to grind it out.
Exactly.
So you still live in the Phoenix area, which is the backyard of the NFL's Cardinals. And, of course, they've got the former UCLA quarterback who was taken 10th in the draft. It's been kind of a gloomy start, and it looks like Coach Wilkes has benched Bradford. Josh Rosen in for a bit last week. So what's the buzz in your town about the rookie getting his shot to start?
Well, welcome to the NFL, rookie. Here, go master an 80-yard drive to win this game for us in your first time out. That was a little rough to throw him out there in those circumstances, but I do think that when he has an entire week to prepare, it's going to look a little different. But, I mean, he was able to go out there and move the offense pretty well for the limited time that he had. Of course, he's still throwing interceptions because that's, I just think, when you're in that type of a situation, you're in desperation mode already. And you're just not going to be making the best decisions when you go in. But I'm excited to see. I mean, clearly I wanted Sam Bradford to work because I just feel for the guy after surgery after surgery after surgery. You just think, all right, this is your time. But unfortunately, he was not able to score, like, I mean, any points. You see the two touchdowns they put up early in that game, and then that was it. It was time, in my opinion, to go to Josh Rosen and see what the future holds, because Sam Bradford just wasn't going to give you anything. And they have a potentially good offense. You still have Larry Fitzgerald. You still have David Johnson. I mean, come on, you just need somebody to spark that offense and get that ball moving. And I think that making the move to Josh Rosen just seems like the right move right now.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch after seeing him up close and personal. Folks, she's Jill Savage on Twitter at Jill_Savage, one of the most polished, hardworking, knowledgeable people we get to work with. Jill, great catching up. Always appreciate you taking some time with us. You be well. You travel safe. And definitely look forward to catching up later in the season.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Have a good one, Jill.